Hi, I'm Don Genova, and you're listening to a podcast produced in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, called All You Can Eat. Here in BC, the mainstream media has been full of coverage of labor disputes. CBC Radio and television, telecom provider TELUS, BC Teachers, and more. Much of the conversation always seems to revolve around the bargaining table. Each side in the dispute talks about returning to the bargaining table, bringing ideas to the table. And while the table is somewhat of an icon when talking about labor relations, I think what they should have at those discussions is a kitchen table. I grew up at our kitchen table doing homework, craft projects, eating all of my meals, and having good family discussion, working out the kinks on almost anything to do with the family. I bet those labor talks would be a lot more fruitful if the bargaining table was more like a kitchen table. The only problem is the kitchen table is disappearing from our modern kitchens. Most of my friends here in Vancouver no longer have kitchen tables in their homes, or more precisely, they own or rent homes that don't have a place for the kitchen table. I wanted to know how this change happened, so I visited Arnie Salveson, a kitchen designer with Paradigm Kitchen Design. If you're sitting at your computer listening to this, check out my website at pacificpalette.com and look for the Pacific Palette Show of November 2nd. You'll find a few pictures of what Arnie and I are about to talk about and a link to the Paradigm website where you can browse through some of the kitchen renos Arnie's company has coordinated. While you do that, here's our conversation, followed by a short documentary I recorded at a home show earlier this year in Toronto.
From the start of when I've been doing this, was really kind of the advent of the island in the kitchen. You know, it was designers were coming up with bigger and bigger rooms and how to fill those rooms. Oh, I know, let's put a big block in the middle. Now I think in a lot of ways the island probably took the place of the old kind of farmhouse table that was both an eating place and a work surface. Might be a little bit cynical, but perhaps cabinet people wanted to sell more cabinets. So, hey, let's throw drawers and look, you can store all your pots and pans and everything in the island. But it would give you this great expanse of work area. So that's probably been the most significant introduction into the world of kitchen designs, you know, since I've been involved with it is the introduction of the island and then making that island more than just this work surface storage area, because as you mentioned, the kitchen table's always been a part of a kitchen, and with these bigger kitchens you almost have to squeeze it out. You don't have room for both.
It's ironic. You have a bigger kitchen, but you don't have room for a table.
You don't have room for a table. There's also, we're a member, and I'm a member of the National Kitchen and Bath Association. And back in the, a while ago anyway, we'll call it the 50s, there was a study that was done where they started looking at the ergonomics, conservation of movement, what makes a good kitchen. And certain rules started evolving out of that. And one of the things that the island did was the island addressed a lot of the issues. Instead of you having to walk, say 12 feet over to another countertop surface, well, oh, look, you've got an island. There's 3 feet. Woo, and there you are. Especially since the 90s, this whole concept of the great room in home architecture, new homes being built, and the walls came down around the kitchen. And it was opened up now to the family room. And like you said, ironically, now we've got this more cavernous space. So, hey, let's fill it up with kitchen cabinets. The island comes in and it starts expanding out. And there's no room for a table anymore. In addition, you've also got the dining room probably out in that open space as well. And, well, gee, do we want to have two tables? So what eventually ended up happening was, well, we've got an island, or in cases of other kitchens, we have a peninsula. And a lot of geography in kitchen design. And the designers started looking at different ways of incorporating informal eating areas into these islands and peninsulas. So you get overhangs with the countertops, and people would pull chairs up.
Let's take a look at a couple of things you have here.
This is probably a more typical example with a raised eating bar, and so what we have is the typical 36-inch high countertop, and then the bar coming up in behind. The bar would typically sit 6 inches or so above the working surface. And then we have a couple of bar stools in behind. So you can imagine, you can have your friends sitting at the bar stool, completely part of what's going on in the kitchen. And I can be sitting here working. We've got a sink here, but it could just as easily be a cooktop, getting dinner ready, entertaining our friends. And, so it does a couple of things. One is it allows, my friends, family, whatever, be part of what's going on in the kitchen. It also keeps them out of my way, And the kitchen table, what it would do, you can always imagine the family sitting around it. Well, if I've got people sitting kind of in the middle of my work area in the kitchen, they're going to get away in the way. So that was one of the things that we thought of, or that has been thought of in the world of design. Another thing that the raised bar does, besides just being a really comfortable sitting height, is that it allows you to take up less space as a seated diner. If you take a look at your standard 30-inch high kitchen table, we like to allow about 2 feet, sometimes maybe 30 inches in behind the table for that person to pull out the chair, get up, and move along. We only need about 18 inches of space for somebody who's raised. You can see when you're sitting at a bar stool, your body is more elongated, so you're not taking up quite as much room.
And you can take the stools away and stand there easily as well?
You can take the stools away. In my kitchen at home, that's exactly what we do. We've got a bunch of stools, but anytime we're entertaining, we have a bunch of people over. The stools go in one of the back rooms because people are leaning up against it, and it's really nice. Something that you probably couldn't do with a kitchen table. Kitchen table is more, it's more family oriented, I suppose.
But people always gravitate, it seems, to the kitchen when there's a party.
Oh yeah, it's kitchen parties. It sounds cliche, but the kitchen really is the heart of the home. It is the area where that 3 times a day some form of meal is being prepared. And whether it's you've just gone to the fridge to to pull out an apple and a piece of cheese and you're going to just have a snack before you dash off to soccer practice with the kids, or you've got a bunch of friends over for a cocktail party and snacks and whatever, there's always something going on in there, and it's probably the easiest place to get everybody together.
This one, design-wise, is neat because you've actually got the open space between the counter and the raised shelf there for eating. And I guess it opens up all kinds of design possibilities.
One of the things that we try to do is look at the kitchen, cabinet-wise, as part of the whole scope of a room. It's not just a self-contained little unit. So by leaving the space in between the raised bar, one is aesthetically, it looks cool, but it also just keeps everything nice and light, visually light. There is nothing the matter, and actually it's probably more common to actually have a wall in there, so there would be a bit of a backsplash, place for electrical outlets, place to hide your spices or what have you. Again, using my kitchen as an example, this open space is exactly what we've done, and it's actually quite humorous because we'll get my kids coming and cleaning off the dining room table, and they'll walk in, and instead of walking all the way into the kitchen, they'll slide the dishes in between the bar and the countertop, and they'll just push it in, and then the other one will be on the other side pulling it in and loading the dishwasher. That just happened to be the way it worked.
It's kind of like a restaurant then.
Very much so. It's the pass, that's how that one works. So it has a certain lightness to it. And one of the other things that we try to do in contemporary design, because we're kind of considering it as a whole, the part of the whole house, we want it to look less like boxes. It's very common, for kitchens, you know, say from the late 70s, early 80s, to kind of have this boxy, cookie-cutter, modular type of approach. Yes, we're still using modular cabinetry today, but the idea is you want it to look more informal, more like unfitted pieces of furniture. That seems to be, you know, the way things are going right now.
Did part of this trend come from more restaurants having bars to eat at in the restaurant, or was it the other way around, inspired by the home?
I can only speak for myself, and I would say that it came from, you know, the former, from the restaurant influence. One of the other things that's happened, and, you know, I mean, we're all busier these days. You know, like I use the example of the soccer practice, and, you know, going to piano lessons, going out for dinner with friends. I mean, there's so much more going on. The family is a much more dynamic unit now. It's not just coming home from school, homework, bed. It's just a whole plethora of things. And so, you know, grabbing a quick bite, doing kind of, you know, meal for your son, and then your daughter comes home and does something for herself before she goes off to dance class or whatever. There's always, you know, the standard meal time now, you know, doesn't happen nearly as frequently. You know, when I was growing up, it was, you know, 5:30, dad's home from work, dinner's on the table. Yeah. That's the end of it. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, with the families the way it is, it's all over the place. You know, at least once a week we like to do a regular meal time, but it's changed, and I think that also has a real impact on the kitchen table. You know, it's not as important a part of the kitchen anymore. I mean, we gather in different ways, and so by introducing a bar, or an overhang or an island or something into the kitchen where you can kind of quickly gather around. Well, you might only have 5-6 minutes with each other, but at least you're all together. And that's, you know, by including that in the kitchen and changing the way we use the kitchen, that it adapts to that type of situation.
But this typical kind of bar, it kind of makes it, if you're sitting two or three people there, it's harder to look at each other that way. You kind of have to turn, right?
It definitely is harder to, you know, for the people at the bar. It's, if you think of it in that way, it's more beneficial to the person who's actually in the kitchen. You know, one of the things we try to do, and this is a very small display example. Why don't we go over and have a look at this one over here? And this is a peninsula style. And as you can see, this is actually quite reminiscent of a table. We've got a nice big sweeping arc and a semicircle design on it, and we can fit three or four chairs around here. And yeah, this is more like a table. We're seeing a lot of these as well. Again, because of the amount of space that a table or a peninsula situation like this would take up, you need a pretty big kitchen to pull it off. But, you know, this is something that we will try and do.
Do you get kind of nostalgic, though, over the old kitchen table? That's something I grew up with, something you grew up with as well?
Indeed. The funny thing is that the house that I'm living in now, I was actually born in. It was my grandmother's house, and when my mom and dad were first married, they lived with grandma. And the old Formica kitchen table with the heavy chrome around it and the tubular chrome and Naga hide chairs, I still own those. I just, for whatever reason, haven't been able to bring myself to throwing them out.
But are they in the kitchen?
No, they are not in the kitchen. No, they are in storage, and one day I will have room big enough, or my sons will move out and require a table, and we still do a certain amount in our house of table dining. It's a dining room table. It's not a kitchen table, and we insist. During the week, it's a little different, but we insist on the weekend that at least one meal is held at that table, and it's for precisely the reason you know that you're talking about, is, you know, the family gathers together and we talk about what happened during the day, and, you know, the informal family meeting. You know, it's I think it's a combination of the table as well as the meal. You know, the meal together.
Do you find a lot of people are putting televisions into their kitchens now?
Oh, Lord, yes. You know, folks, turn off the tube. Okay, listen to the radio. No, it's something that I'd say up until really about 5 years ago has not been a practical issue. Some big kitchens, certainly, we could fit some of the smaller 12-inch screens and slide them in. However, now with the LCD and the plasma screens and the flat things, you can even get them, you know, like a DVD flat screen TV set that actually mounts up underneath your cabinet and folds up out of the way when you're not using it. When you want to use it, flip it down, throw in a DVD, watch your favorite cooking show or soap opera or whatever. I see probably a little bit more in terms of bringing computers into the kitchen. Again, using myself as an example, we have a laptop that we carry. We have a recipe program, and we carry all the recipes on it. And so what we can do is pull up the recipe. It sits, strangely enough, up on the bar, and we read the recipe and cook from that. It helps us with grocery lists and those kind of things.
Right, and if you have a wireless connection, you can move it around and pull up. What is that ingredient? I mean, what's the conversion factor on this?
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's the kitchen is really it's very interesting watching how it's changed over my career. Was really almost seen as a place for reheating. Do you have a microwave? Okay, great, you're set. And, you know, the instant meals and things like that. Now over the last few years with the kind of resurgence of cooking and cuisine and there's a real interest in putting in professional quality appliances and your solid Corian countertops or granite countertops or stainless steel. And people want, I saw Rob Feeney or Jamie Oliver with such and such. That's what I want in my kitchen. Fortunately, now they're actually using it. There was a time when they wanted all this stuff, but it was for show. They never used. They're still going out and eating and ordering in pizza. Now it's a good thing. And I think that, is there going to be enough room in the kitchen for kitchen tables in the future? I think that's hard to say. I think that's maybe something that's going to be more more a part of a rural lifestyle or a place where you have the bigger homes and because in the city, I mean, not because we're all busy, not just because of that, but I think also because real estate and spaces are getting smaller. If you've got a condo in town, you've got over 800 square feet. Hey, you're spacious. That's pretty sad, but that's the way it goes.
Okay. There's one here, mm-hmm. which is more typically an island that is not so functional for sitting at.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we very easily could convert this one, into eating an eating space. But this gives you a really good example of a number of things in the.
Just describe what we're looking at here.
Yeah, what we've got is it's a two-level and three countertop surface island. On the end here is a beautiful round butcher block. Now this one is really for show. If I was actually going to be cutting on this one, I'd have it oiled. I wouldn't have it varnished. But that's beside the point. There's a work surface of Corian in the middle, and then down on the far end there is a lowered section done in stainless steel, which it's a lowered height more suitable for kneading dough, for rolling out pastries and the like. A bit of an homage to my grandmother who did more than her fair share of Yulekaga and Fatiman for Christmas. Yeah, deep fried dough, gotta love the Danes, right? It gives you a real good example of showing how an island is really being used as a real workhorse. Lots of different surfaces here, and then of course the storage underneath is all important as well. What we call the gull wing door. It's a double round doors that open up, and then inside there's a full round Lazy Susan.
Very nice.
Yeah, so that, all these different things. Again, the idea behind this is we wanted it to look like a piece of furniture. So you've got the roundness. It's not the harsh, boxy kind of cabinetry. If you have a look at the down at the end there, you'll see that our lowered baking center is designed to look like a table. It's got four stainless steel legs, it's got a drawer underneath, and it's got a little rack down at the bottom for, you know, for storing your cookie sheets or your stainless steel bowls or whatever. The, you know, we're trying to make the kitchen, again, look unfitted. You know, bits of furniture that you've collected over the years is, it's kind of coming full circle.
Fascinating conversation. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Don.
That was Arnie Salveson of Paradigm Kitchen Design in Vancouver. Now, to dig into the Food for Thought Archives, that's a show I produce for over a dozen CBC radio stations across Canada. This one goes back to January of this year when I visited the big home show in Toronto.
Very, very dark wood stains become very trendy, and sure they are.
Carl Lones is holding court at the recent Metro Toronto home show. Carl is sometimes called the Dr. Phil of the decorating world and is the style editor for Canada's Style at Home magazine. While he's an expert throughout the entire home, I wanted to know about the latest trends for the kitchen.
It changes every year, but what we're really seeing is people who are entertaining more and spending more time in their kitchen. They're designing the kitchen to be open to the living room and to the dining room and family room. It's a very important room to look at for decorative purposes, but also to be used for as well. Appliances are becoming very high-end. People are willing to spend a little more money on the gadgets. Not only in fridges and stoves and dishwashers and sinks and faucets, but also in countertop appliances, really high-end pro-line mixers and all these things that look like they belong in professional kitchens. People who entertain want to show off their toys, and these are toys to people who love to cook.
Can you go a little bit overboard with that kind of thing? Like, is a commercial fridge really that much better than a regular home fridge?
Well, a lot of the commercial, the real commercial appliances would not work in a real kitchen. The fridges are very noisy in restaurant kitchens. They need to be, they have very large and noisy fans on them. The stoves are not fire rated. They heat up too much. They put out too much heat in the back and the sides for a regular home. So the manufacturers are actually making these products that are suitable for homes, but that have that look to them. And I think that's a look that you have to love, and it has to be something that you've really had a passion for a long time, not just something that is a trend for 6 months that you love. So if you've always loved a country kitchen, you might not want to go for the commercial look in the appliances. You can still find some other pretty neat looking things out there. A lot of retro looks are coming back in appliances. The soft greens and creams and soft avocados are sort of coming back in the colors for fridges and stoves. So you can still get a nice look. You don't have to just go with commercial. It's not the only trend that's out there in kitchens.
Carl mentioned retro furniture is back, and I saw a whole display of kitchen tables and chairs that took me right back to the 1950s and early 60s.
The red Coca-Cola table is got a beautiful design to it. It's a 36 by 60 table. It's available in different sizes with a detailed banding around it, and also with a beautiful Duncan Fife style base. And with the
Eric Mankus is with Smart Furniture Toronto. He says all of his retro kitchen furniture is made out of new, modern materials, so maintenance and comfort are updated in styles everyone remembers from their childhood. Who is buying this kind of stuff?
Everybody. We've got young, older, different crowds, people who remember it, people who grew up with it, people who still want to have a sense of what they remember in their home.
Something that is really old is new again. Cork has been used in Europe for centuries, and it's a renewable resource as the trees grow new cork for stripping every 9 years. Cork is becoming more and more popular for people installing new flooring in their kitchens. Arnold Lieferink is a flooring consultant with Torley's.
A kitchen is an ideal situation because basically you're dealing with something where, you know, you want it to be comfortable underfoot, you want to control the noise, you want to have certainly something forgiving for if you drop a dish, that it's going to bounce or just crack rather than shatter. It's again radiates your body heat back, so you can stand on cork all day without a lot of fatigue.
What about mopping up spills? Does it absorb liquids, or you know, does it get sticky?
Well, the surface, again, water-based polyurethane technologies have come to the point where the floor is almost impervious to most day-to-day hazards that get spilt onto the floor. They'll wipe up quite readily, or sweep or vacuum if they're dry format.
So we have cork floors, retro kitchen tables, and commercial-style appliances. What about when it comes to the major stuff, like complete kitchen renovations? It can be a minefield out there. One feature of the home show was called Interview with a Renovator, so I sat down with Joel Scopoletti, a general contractor who says 80% of the calls he gets are from people who want to remodel their kitchen. He warns it's one of the projects that is never as simple as it seems.
You know, kitchen is cabinets, flooring, removing walls. A lot of times there's structural walls, which means posts, beams, footings. You have tiles and backsplashes and lighting and drywall and insulation and on and on and on. The number one mistake people make is they don't spend the extra money and get a professional designer to come in and design the kitchen. We've all heard the horror stories that you can't open up your dishwasher and your fridge at the same time, or you can't open up your stove and your dishwasher. Where's the forks and knives drawers? Little basic concepts like that, pull-out drawers for pots and pans. These are things, if you're not aware of what's available, after the fact, it's too late, and it's worth it to get a good contractor or a good designer, and because you do a kitchen once every generation, so you want to do it right.
Joel says it's not uncommon for a kitchen reno to cost between $50,000 and $75,000. If that seems like a lot, here's one last piece of advice from Joel.
Everybody's looking for three things. Everyone's looking for quality, service, and a cheap price. And since the beginning of time, you can only really get two. It doesn't matter what business it is. So if somebody gives you a cheap price, they'll have to cut a corner either on the quality or the service. So you have to determine what's more important: value, quality, and service, or cheap price, quality, and forget about service, or cheap price and just service and no quality.
That's Food for Thought. I'm Don Genova. That item from the Food for Thought archives of January 2005. If you want to see more of what I've been doing in the world of food, visit my website at pacificpalette.com. I have two contests running right now that will give you a chance to win new cookbooks, and I'll have more contests leading up to the end of this year. I'd love to hear from you on what you think about the podcast, so drop me a line at pacificpalette@telus.net. That's it for this edition of All You Can Eat. I'm Don Genova. Bye for now.